Chapter 6. Group Telepathic Work. I shall now take up with you the subject of united group telepathic work, its possibilities, and the present opportunity, touching upon the dangers involved and the responsibility which will rest upon your shoulders and upon those of all disciples who may attempt to work in this way. You need to bear in mind the following three injunctions. First, it is essential that you acquire facility in tuning in on each other with deepest love and understanding, that you develop impersonality so that when a brother tunes in on a weakness or a strength, upon a mistake or a right attitude, it evokes from you no slightest reaction that could upset the harmony of the group united work as planned, that you cultivate a love which will ever seek to strengthen and to help, and a power to supplement or complement each other which will be of use in balancing the group as a working unit under spiritual impression. The discovery of a weakness in a group brother should only produce the evocation of a deeper love. The discovery that you have made a mistake, if you have, in interpreting a brother, should only prompt you to a renewed vital effort to approach more closely to his soul. The revelation to you of a brother's strength will indicate where you can look for help in any hour of your own need. State frankly what you feel as you work month after month at this task of group rapport, deliberately tuning out criticism and substituting for it analysis, an analysis impersonally given. State truthfully what you sense and register. Your conclusions may be right or wrong, but a definite effort to comply and to recognize consciously the gained impression should aid the group blending without undue delay into an instrument of sensitive understanding. If disciples cannot tune in on each other with ease after long periods of close relationship, how can they, as a group, tune in on some individual or some group of individuals unknown to them in their personalities? Unless such interplay is established fundamentally, and unless there is a close integration between the members who constitute the group, it will not be possible for constructively useful and spiritually oriented and controlled work to be properly carried forward and successfully accomplished. But it is a task which you can accomplish if you will, and real application over a period of time should enable the group to work smoothly and well together. The three rules for beginners, earlier given in A Treatise on White Magic, page 320, embody the first steps leading to the attitude required in true hierarchical work. This is the objective of the accepted disciple. Secondly, your constant effort to be carried forward steadily and slowly must be to bring about a group love of such strength that nothing can break it and no barriers rise up between you, to cultivate a group sensitivity of such a quality that your diagnosis of conditions will be relatively accurate, to develop and unfold a group ability to work as a unit, so that there will be nothing in the inner attitudes of any of the group members which could break into the carefully established rhythm. For it is quite possible for a member of the group to retard the work and to hold back the group because he is so engrossed in his own affairs or in his own ideas of self-development. When some members cease their activity, it does affect the inner group vibration. When others become slowed up by definite changes in their outer or inner lives, this requires periods of adjustment and oft of reorganization of the life. These changes, being externalized, can produce powerful psychological changes and upset the rhythm of the soul's endeavor. A tried and experienced disciple will not let such a change upset his inner rhythm, but a less experienced disciple needs real soul watchfulness to the danger of sidetracking the life interest from spiritual purposes to personality attentions and interests. Thirdly, any group work of this kind must be most carefully controlled. Any group effort which seeks to impress the mind of any subject, whether an individual or a group, must be strenuously guarded as to motive and method. Any group endeavor which involves a united applied effort to effect changes in the point of view, an outlook on life, or a technique of living, must be utterly selfless, most wisely and cautiously undertaken, and must be kept free from any personality emphasis, any personality pressure, and any mental pressure which is formulated in terms of individual belief, prejudice, dogmatism, or ideas. I would ask you to study the above words most carefully. The moment that there is the least tendency on the part of a group or of an individual in a group to force an issue, to bring so much mental pressure to bear that an individual or group is helpless under the impact of other minds, you have what is called black magic. Right motive may protect the group from any serious results to themselves, but the effect upon their victim will be definitely serious, rendering him negative and with a weakened will. The result of all true telepathic work and rightly directed effort to impress a subject will be to leave him with a strengthened will to right action, an intensified interior light, an astral body freer from glamour, and a physical body more vital and purer. The potency of a united group activity is incredibly powerful. The occult aphorism that energy follows thought is either a statement of a truth or else a meaningless phrase. Forget not that the method of work of the hierarchy is that of impression upon the minds of the disciples, of telepathic work carried on with the master as broadcaster and the disciple as the recipient of impression and of energy. This reception of impression and energy has a dual effect. 1. It brings into activity the latent seeds of action and of habits, good or bad, thus producing revelation, purification, enrichment, and usefulness. 2. It vitalizes and galvanizes the personality into a right relation to the soul, to the environment, and to humanity. It is necessary for you and for all disciples to grasp this correspondence to this hierarchical effort and any effort which you may make in order to work as a group of individuals with groups or individuals. An appreciation of the power which you may let loose, of the dynamic effect which you may succeed in awakening in the subject of your directed thought, and of the impression which you may imprint in the mind and consciousness of the subject, should incite you to a guarded purity of life, astral and physical, to a watchfulness over thoughts and ideas, and to a love which will safeguard you from all love of power. Thus you will preserve the integrity of those you seek to help, and will be enabled to suggest, to strengthen, and to teach subjectively, with no undue influence, no forcing, and no infringement of the liberty and spiritual franchise of the person concerned. A difficult task, my brothers, but one to which you are equal, given due attention and obedience to the above three injunctions as to motive, technique, and method.